The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan. Never in a million years did I imagine not being a Cowboy once I put on this uniform and put on this star. So through it all, through the 2 years, I guess you can say, or more, there was never a slight doubt in my mind that I wouldn't wear the star for the rest of my life.
Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones, the group there in Dallas still wrapping up the press conference today about this $160 million man, speaking about his massive new contract. More in moments on that. You'll hear what everyone had to say. Also, we're 50 days away from the NFL draft. Someone here today is going to tell you why a quarterback projected to go in the first round is similar to Lamar Jackson. Stay tuned for that. Welcome you to NFL Live. You see Kimberly Martin there, Marcus Spears is there, and Booger McFarland will be joining us shortly as well. But guys, we begin with Dak, so let's start right there. Just a little reminder, you see that the dollar sign around Dak. It should be as many dollars we could possibly find. I think that's a hundy, but anyway, he bet on himself. He signed
the man got his own money.
Exactly, $160 million. Record $126 million guaranteed. The first 3 years averaged $42 million per year. Dak, you see him getting to the podium right there today. Here's more of what he and Jerry Jones had to say about this big deal.
Eagerness, excitement, anxiousness to give this organization and the Jones family everything that they invested in. And that's a Super Bowl, and that's to go win. Pressure is privilege, and I'm privileged to have it. I'm privileged that this organization, they believe in me. They put their faith in me. But as I said, if you know me, you know who I am. I walk every day with the faith and what I believe in, and my expectations are so, so high. I believe my expectations for myself are higher than anybody's out there.
The truth is, most anything that I've ever been involved in that ended up being special, I overpaid for. Every time.
And as you said, you saw me walking out here. I've been on that field back there. I'm healthy. I'm getting close. But I'll be ready when it matters.
It was great to see Dak able to walk the way that he was. Obviously, a long way to go there still. But the expectations in Dallas, they're always high. When you pay your QB like they did, they're super high. The Cowboys, just one of seven teams to not reach a conference championship game in the last 25 seasons, including the Texans, whose first season came in 2002. Since winning the Super Bowl in 1995, the Cowboys 4-10 in playoff games. This is not good. You can certainly bet Prescott's new contract will be viewed as a success or failure based on what Dallas does in the postseason. So, Marcus, let's first start with what you heard Dak say today, what you heard Jerry say. What's your reaction to the words that were said there in Texas?
Yeah, all of the fires that were burning and all of the things that were going haywire. And it's funny how a simple stroke of a pen can just get rid of all of that talk. But what I saw was a confident Dak Prescott. And that's exactly what we thought he should have been even before this press conference took place. We talked about leverage. We talked about his positioning as far as a new contract and the things that he could do based on where he was sitting in the Cowboys franchise and their organization. So when to see him just happy, like first of all, I want people to understand how much Dak has been through throughout this process of us talking about his contract. So the bit of relief, the bit of excitement, hearing him talk about him and his brother Tad hugging and thinking about his brother and his mother who they lost. It was just great. It was refreshing. It was something that felt good. It's the kind of stories that the NFL give us every once in a while where you see all of the things come together and happen the way you think they should happen. The process was long. It was a lot of frustration. It was a lot of things that we talked about. But all sitting there at that podium is really the only thing that mattered. And for them to get to this point, kudos to Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott, and Stephen Jones in this organization.
As we told you, Booger McFarland's supposed to join us, dealing with some technical issues there. I've got something else for you, Marcus, but Kimberly, I want to go to you on just the overall offense here. Now that we know that, you know, Dak's going to be in position as their quarterback, Zeke Elliott, some pieces there. How does this all fit in for you as you look at this entire thing?
Yeah, Laura, you know, the first thing people are going to say is, well, Dak got his money. Now he's got to show out on the field. The pressure's all on Dak. I disagree. I think just as much pressure is on Zeke because, let's face it, he got his money already. And what we saw last year was not the same explosive guy that we've been used to seeing. Out of his five seasons, three of them he's rushed for over 1,300-plus yards, right? But there's two where he didn't even crack 1,000. Now, he's got to be more consistent. He has to take care of the football. And I know people are going to, you know, get on Twitter and say, well, but he last year, he didn't have Dak for most of the season, makeshift offensive line, a lot of injuries. There's reasons for the struggles, and I get that. But if we're going to say, Dak, you got the money, now prove that you earned it, which I don't think is fair, but that's what people say, then you got to say to Zeke, too. Like, when you were signing that contract, you weren't giving any of the money to any of the other players, the old linemen and Dak. So you've got to also step up, and I think this is great. The band's back together. Dak is on board. He's back in the mix. And so this is a key point for the Cowboys. Everybody's got to show improvement.
Yeah, our band is finally together now that we've got Booger McFarland in the fold. Boog, fashionably late here on the show. So Dak aside, Boog.
You just want to make an entrance.
Exactly. You made a grand entrance, Boog. They've got the 10th pick in the draft in free agency before that, right? We're coming up on free agency just next week. What should the Cowboys be focused on?
Well, Laura, I think it's got to be their defense, and you're right. They got so many weapons offensively now that they got Dak signed and a plethora of receivers with CeeDee Lamb and Cooper and all those guys. The offensive line is aging, but it's got to be a defense that was just abysmal against the run. They need help inside a defensive tackle. They need help opposite Diggs at cornerback. They need a safety. But think about it, Laura. They need a lot of things on Dallas's defense, and you know, you can say we changed coordinators from Nolan to Dan Quinn. But you name me a great chef, and I'll show you a bad chef if you don't give him great ingredients. So you got to give him some ingredients to work with to make sure that they can put a formidable defense on the field, because that defense was poo-poo last year in Dallas.
Ooh, poo-poo. We didn't get very far in the show without a poo-poo dropping here. You know, I mean, the one thing, too, with Dan Quinn, either way, the scheme's going to be simpler, which helps everybody involved. Listen, we just passed the franchise tag deadline. Here's a look at some key upcoming dates for the NFL you got to pay attention to here on Monday, March 15th. This coming Monday, by the way, teams can start to enter negotiations with free agents. It's going to be wild. Then on Wednesday, March 17th, the free agency signing period officially starts along with the 2021 league year. Then all eyes on the draft from April 29th to May 1st. And 2 days after the draft, it's the deadline for the fifth-year option for 2018 first-round picks. That's important. Lastly, on July 15th, it's back to the franchise tag, as that's the final day teams and tag players can reach long-term deals. Glad to know that we won't be talking about Dak Prescott and that deal this entire time, because it's already been figured out. With free agency just days away, let's match some key free agents with teams who need them most. Kimberly, you go first.
Laura, let's for a second not talk about who the Jets QB will be in 2021. Whether they stick with Sam Darnold and go that course again, or they go with Zach Wilson, that guy needs a playmaker, and who better than Kenny Golladay? I understand he only played 5 games last year. I get it, injuries. But talk about playmaking threats. That's the guy the Jets can get.
I'm sending Aaron Jones to Hotlanta. Look, the Green Bay Packers decided we are better off without him. Hence, no tag, no long-term deal. Still could be a possibility for him to return. But if you look at what Atlanta is doing, they have a high pick in the draft. This team needs a back that can be multiple. And Aaron Jones' value to me is more than a running back. He can do 1 through 3 downs. They need that in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Trent Williams, the offensive tackle. He's the best left tackle in football, and you put him in Indianapolis next to Quentin Nelson, and you may have the best duo on one side of the line of scrimmage since Seattle had Steve Hutchinson and Walter Jones Spears. I know you remember that duo. That duo could be dominant. They could be dynamic. And if I'm Chris Ballard and the Indianapolis coach, let's go get Trent Williams, baby.
Yeah, let's get some protection for Carson Wentz. That may make a big difference in his new home there.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Every Wednesday, as part of Women's History Month this March, NFL Live will highlight women leaving an impact on the league. Today, 10 teams have women as the faces of their franchise. We begin with some of the matriarchs, Virginia Halitz McCaskey and Gail Benson. Virginia has been around football her whole life, the daughter of legendary Bears coach and owner George Halas. She took over control of the team in 1983, making her the longest tenured NFL owner. Gail Benson is owner and chairman of the New Orleans Saints. She's the first woman to be the majority shareholder of the voting stock in both an NFL and NBA franchise when she took over control of the Saints and Pelicans in 2018. While these two have been great examples for women in the league for decades, this pair of female owners are on the rise, Amy Adams-Strunk and Kim Pegula. Amy is the chairman of the Tennessee Titans and played a big role in helping Nashville secure the 2019 NFL draft we all remember. It was so successful, the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame named her Tennessean of the Year for her work helping transform the franchise and the city. Kim is the owner and president of the Buffalo Bills, making her the first female team president in history for both an NFL and NHL team with the Buffalo Sabres. This season, Pegula worked with New York health and safety officials to ensure a small number of fans were allowed to attend the Bills' first playoff game in 25 years. These women impact the NFL daily, and the league is better for it. Let's address the Panthers QB situation, shall we? Teddy Bridgewater is under contract for two more years in Carolina, and yet his performance left questions last season, especially fourth quarter struggles. Carolina holds the eighth pick in the draft. It's just 50 days away. It's certainly conceivable that they'd trade up and draft a QB, or maybe they're making a run at Deshaun. Here's what Matt Rhule had to say about Teddy today.
Teddy's a tremendous professional. And Teddy's a tremendous person. He's having a great offseason, I'm sure. I can't wait to get him back here. And I think he's determined to play his best football next year. As far as where he stands with us, I mean, he's our quarterback. Because of where we're picking, you know, we'll certainly check out quarterbacks in addition to other players as well. I think anybody that's, you know, in the top 10 or 12, since we're picking eighth, you know, I think we'll have a presence at their pro days.
So, Kimberly, as is true with a number of GMs and coaches right now, it's like the Panthers seem to be keeping their options open. What's actually going on here?
I think what we just heard, Laura, was a lot of coach speak. You know, in over a decade of covering the NFL, I've learned don't listen to what the GMs and coaches say. Watch what they do. So them having a lot of options, that's great for them. They're in great position. But when I have conversations with people around the league, some of them say, oh, the restructures we even saw today with McCaffrey, that's just Carolina. That's another signal that they're going to go all in on Deshaun Watson. Now, some other people I talk to say Carolina, they don't – Houston isn't just going to take Teddy Bridgewater. They want a surefire answer, top-tier QB, if they're going to trade somebody like Deshaun Watson. Either way, Laura, I haven't gotten the feeling from people that they even think around the league that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be in Carolina much longer. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's also interesting what you said about Houston wanting a surefire quarterback in return. You would think that, you know, maybe they're looking at this saying we could just get as much capital as possible for what's obviously a rebuild there. Marcus, when you think about the question that we're all asking here, do you think that Teddy is the quarterback to start next season, or do they go to the draft and bring in somebody else, and there may be somebody else outside of the draft?
He'll start next season only if he has to. Like, to answer Kimberly's question, Teddy is not their quarterback that they see long-term in the future. It's that simple. Like, Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, and Tepper, the owner, they have a long-term plan, i.e. Matt Rhule's contract. And I don't believe Teddy Bridgewater is the guy that they're thinking is going to be a part of that plan for a long, extended period of time. And that's not to cast any aspersions on Teddy Bridgewater. He's a good quarterback. But he's not the quarterback that's going to lift you to the point of winning a Super Bowl. And I think that's the way that the Carolina Panthers are thinking. That's how Matt Rhule coaches. He coaches like he thinks. He coaches and takes chances, goes for it on fourth down, goes for big play, drives in the fourth quarter. And this team is really not as far away as people may think. They were very competitive in the NFL this year. So that quarterback spot may be the slight adjustment that Matt Rhule feels he needs to make in order to get this team at least in contention. And think about this. Like, you're in a division now with Tom Brady in Tampa. Obviously, Drew Brees has left New Orleans. And Atlanta is in a situation with Matt Ryan where that might not last long. So if you're going to jock for position, Now is the time. Now is the time to try to find that quarterback that you can get ahead on of everybody else, because I don't expect Tom to play three more years. Carolina needs to be in the business of trying to find a quarterback they want to run with for the long haul.
You know, oftentimes if you listen to what people say, they'll tell you everything you want to know. Notice what Matt Rhule said. He's a good professional. He's a good person. He said nothing about him being a good quarterback. So that tells you everything he needs to know about Teddy Bridgewater. They lost 7 or 8 games last year, guys, by a touchdown, 7, 8, 9 points somewhere in there. And they just felt like that in Carolina, if they had somebody just a little bit more dynamic at the quarterback position, somebody just a little bit more creative, they could have won some of those games. So, yes, there's no question. They are looking. If Deshaun Watson becomes available, they're going to look at that. If somebody like a Justin Fields or Trey Lance falls down to them where they're currently picking at 8, they will take a look at that, because they need to get creative and more dynamic at the position. Swagoo and Kimley, I think you're right. If they have to go to battle with Teddy Bridgewater, they will gladly do it. But make no mistake about it, being a good professional and a good person ain't going to win you a hell of a lot of games at the quarterback position. They need a dynamic playmaker, and I think Joe Brady and Matt Rhule both know that.
Yeah, ESPN senior draft analyst Todd McShay, guys, in his latest mock draft, actually had the Panthers trading up to the 3 spot and getting Justin Fields. Think about pairing him with Joe Brady and letting them work together for a while. It could be really, really interesting. All right, this today, Julian Edelman posted an open letter to Twitter on Wednesday morning, one day after an online video surfaced of Miami Heat's Myers Leonard using an anti-Semitic slur while playing a video game. Edelman, who is Jewish, wrote in part, "I get the sense that you didn't use that word out of hate, more out of ignorance. Most likely, you weren't trying to hurt anyone or even profile Jews in your comment. That's what makes it so destructive." Edelman also invited Leonard to a Shabbat dinner so they could talk.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
What a journey, what a story for Dak Prescott, and it feels like there's still so much left to be written as Ed Werder joins us now from Frisco, Texas, where the press conference today was held about Dak Prescott's new contract. Ed, you were there. What stuck out to you?
Well, first of all, this was the first time that Dak Prescott has addressed the media in 153 days, and it marked just the second time in 319 days that Jerry Jones has held a news conference. And there was a lot of information, a lot of entertainment, obviously. I asked Prescott about his preference for playing a physical style as a quarterback, his abilities as a runner and passer, and about how the experience of being seriously injured on a running play, then watching his team fail badly without him, and now the investment of $160 million, how all those factors might affect the way he plays the game. And Prescott responded he must be more mindful about how and when to use his athleticism and physicality.
Yeah, I've got to be smarter. And before the injury, I mean, going back to high school, I was told to be smarter on when I want to demonstrate my physicality or when I want to try to make a point in the game or change the momentum. So that's no difference. I have to be smarter. But to say that game's on the line, it's a first down, or we're at the red zone and I'm going there, that's who I am. And I don't know if I can ever tone that down. And if I do, then you are changing who I am. The best ability is durability, and I have to be there for my team.
Well, since entering the league in 2016, Prescott ranks 6th among quarterbacks in rushing attempts, 7th in rushing yards, and 3rd in rushing touchdowns in that span compared to other quarterbacks. And Laura, I think the other inescapable and newsworthy point here was Jerry Jones. On the very day that the mandate in Texas requiring masks be worn expired, that he said the Cowboys plan to have training camp in Oxnard, California this summer, and they plan to play their games next season in a full stadium, assuring in his mind that both can be done safely.
Wow, very interesting. Thanks so much, Ed, and thanks for the details on Dak as well. Hey, the NFC East was by far the worst division in the NFL last season. Quarterback play, a big reason, of course. Let's examine the NFC East QBs a bit, starting with Dak, fresh off the contract. Former 4th-round pick, ranks 5th in total QBR since entering the NFL in 2016. In Philadelphia, you have Jalen Hurts,
Looks like it's going to be his show. He struggled and showed promise at the same time, completing a league-low 52% of his passes in Washington. Taylor Heinicke sits atop the quarterback depth chart. While there looked good in a playoff loss to Tampa Bay, he's 0-2 still as a starter since entering the league and an undrafted free agent in 2015. And lastly, Daniel Jones in New York, the Giants' 2019 first-round pick, has had 39 turnovers in his first two seasons, most in the NFL over that span. Here's Giants GM Dave Gettleman on Jones yesterday.
We've got a conviction on him. He's everything we want. He's got all the physical skills. And again, I say this all the time. The kid just finished his second year of NFL football, all right? How many of us, after 2 years at our new job, were great? We believe in Daniel, and that's where it is.
There's a lot there, kind of some subliminal layers. Kimberly, what context can you give us on Daniel Jones and his relationship with Dave Gettleman?
Hearing that, Laura, I was not at all surprised because I was there on draft night. I was in East Rutherford when they drafted Daniel Jones. I remember when Dave Gettleman came in the room and said that he was in full bloom love with Daniel Jones. And when asked what was the turning point, he mentioned the Senior Bowl. And just watching him after a few plays, that obviously raised some eyebrows at the time. Listen, Dave Gettleman, he's got to be all in on Daniel Jones because he's the GM. He took him. Joe Judge, their head coach, he inherited Daniel Jones. So David Gettleman has to have faith in Daniel Jones and that he is the guy, because if he's not, then that signals we just wasted a whole bunch of years on a kid who's not going to pan out. So I think from the outside looking in, Daniel Jones has a lot of room for improvement, but the Giants are all in.
The Giants can be all in however much they want to be. Daniel Jones ain't the dude, okay? You can't win in this league turning the football over, period. Like, what are we talking about? The dude got 39 turnovers in the last 2 years. Dave Gettleman was in full bloom love on draft night, all right? But everybody in love when it's just about looks. But now you got to find some substance. Does that person do the things in order to stay in a good relationship? You know what the answer is on Daniel Jones' part? Hell no. Daniel Jones is a turnover machine. And last I checked, that's the quickest way to lose football games in the NFL. Dave Gettleman looked stressed to me. He did not look confident in the Daniel Jones is our guy statement that we just watched him make.
Oh. Well, Boog, I mean, here's
the thing. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, he usually does. The reality is that when you look at the NFC East, it's kind of interesting to try and rank these teams, especially now that we know what's going on with the Cowboys. So I'm going to ask you, how would you rank the teams in the NFC East, Boog? Who's at the top and go on down from there?
Well, Philly's out of the question because they're a dumpster fire. Marcus brings up a great point with Daniel Jones. I'm not ready to give up on him, but he does turn the football over a little bit too much. Plus, their star running back is coming off an ACL and Saquon Barkley. So it comes down between the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to go with the team that has the best head coach, the team that has the best defense, and the team that won a division with four starting quarterbacks whom maybe only two of them are going to be on the roster this year, and that's the Washington football team. I get it. Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the division. But that same quarterback, when healthy, was 1-3 in the division last year when he was healthy. So I get it. You can have the best quarterback. I'll take the team with the best defense and the best head coach. And it really doesn't matter that they don't know who their quarterback is right now. It really doesn't matter because they won it with four quarterbacks last year.
What?
The Washington football team is going to repeat in the NFC East this year.
Oh, spicy. Marcus.
What?
Jalapeno.
It was building up.
You don't have hair.
It was building up to the Cowboys being the winner of the division because that's actually what it should be. They have a quarterback. How in the hell are you, Booger McFarland, going to get on this show as my brother and pick Washington when they don't have a QB? You come in here, Heinicke? Do you think Heinicke going to lead them? Answer. I'm listening. Taylor Heinicke,
I saw enough in one game. I want to give the young man another shot. I want to give him another shot.
So, Boog, you're basing this on thinking that Taylor Heinicke is their quarterback.
No, what I'm basing this on, Laura, is that they signed Taylor Heinicke to a contract to bring him in, not to be the starter, but he's a placeholder right now. I think Ron Rivera and this organization realize they need a quarterback. But what I'm telling you is this, is they have the best defense and the best head coach in the division. And I think that they are competent enough in the front office, they are competent enough at head coach to get a quarterback. Laura, they won the division playing four of them last year. When the Cowboys took Dak off the field, the rest of that team was so bad, they couldn't even compete. And we want to talk about the Cowboys are going to get all their guys back healthy. Well, here's what they get back. They get Tyron Smith, who's a left tackle, he got a bad back. They get Zach Martin, he's got a bad back. So you're depending upon aging veterans coming back. I'll give you Dak. He's the best quarterback in the division. But don't tell me about the best team being the Cowboys.
Marcus, last word quickly.
I'm just I'm appalled.
We lost Boogie.
Like the number one foundation of any conversation about football is who is their quarterback. Like what is this a new NFL I'm experiencing right now? Am I in the damn Twilight Zone?
You're telling me
you gonna take a team with Taylor Heinicke as the quarterback and then reference last year? Last year. Okay, let's go through last year. Dak Prescott got hurt the fifth game of the season. Mike Nolan was horrendous as a defense coordinator in Dallas. Mike McCarthy in a year with COVID, no offseason, and now they have a chance to put together a full offseason with a franchise quarterback in place. Obviously, we talked about
Daniel
Jones.
Typical Cowboy making a lot of excuses. A lot of excuses for the Cowboys.
Well, all right, we do have to go to break, but here's the thing, guys. I think I figured this out. Boog has some sort of sneaky information that Washington's going to get some big-time quarterback. So that's what this all comes down to.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Talk a little Jags on NFL Live here. The NFL set the 2021 salary cap for $182.5 million. For context, the salary cap last year was $198.2 million. Some teams hamstrung by this, not the Jaguars, who we're just talking about. They have over $70 million in cap space to go after free agents and try to add some pieces. Here's Urban Meyer talking yesterday.
You always start at the quarterback position. Obviously, Gardner was a guy that had some success early here. I've spent a little bit of time with him, not a lot of time with him, but you always start at the quarterback position. And we have the number one pick. There's a lot of speculation out there that will be the first pick. So the number one is just making sure we have exactly the quarterback room exactly the way we want it. Offensively, the big play opportunity was not with the Jaguars last year. I think we have some really good receivers. We're not done with that room, however.
I think it's funny how Urban Meyer's like, we might use the number one pick on a quarterback. It might be Trevor Lawrence. Anyway, let's welcome in NFL draft analyst Matt Miller to the show. And Matt, we'll start with you because we want to get this out there. What do you think the Jags need to do here? They've got all this cap space. They got all this money. We think they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence, but there are a lot of options for them, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize we were jacket optional today, by the way, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, look at this here.
Take your jacket off,
come
Matt.
Come on now.
Come on.
Right. No, there are a lot of options for Jacksonville. At pick number 25 overall, we've spent months talking about what happens at one. We know what's going to happen at one. Let's move down to 25. And I look at someone who Urban Meyer should be very familiar with, a wide receiver from the University of Florida. And that is Kadarius Toney, who can be used in so many versatile ways. I see him a lot like someone Urban had when he was the head coach of Florida, Percy Harvin. And I know Jacksonville has LaVisca Chenault, but Kadarius Toney can be that H receiver for Urban Meyer. That means you're going to see him in motion. There are going to be times where he motions back to the backfield, catches swing routes in the flats, makes plays in space. He's aware. He's tough. I know Kyle Pitts got a lot of touchdowns from Kyle Trask last year, but Kadarius Toney was exceptional after the catch. He's not maybe the fastest guy in the open field, but fellas, I think this roster is much, much closer than people realize if they can draft well in 2021.
Wait, really fast before Booger jumps in. Like, how close are they, Matt? Are you talking the next 2 years, the next 5 years? Give us some more there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think within the next 2 years, they can compete in that division to be winning. Also, like, the Texans, come on, they're not competing. They're about to trade away Deshaun Watson. No one believes that they will be building. The Tennessee Titans cut two starters in the secondary right now. So Tennessee, not ready either. So I look at this division as Jacksonville probably not competing this year, but I do think they are on the way up, a lot like Cleveland was 2 years ago where we saw, hey, if they could get a couple things right, they're going to be competitive. 2 years ago, y'all would have laughed at me if I said the Browns would be in the playoffs in 2 years. Look where they are right now.
Huh. Book?
Well, Maddie, first of all, this is the first time we've been on air together, man. Welcome to the ESPN team. You're going to add a lot of knowledge. But when you talk about the Jaguars being close, buddy, hey, close but no cigar. They, to me, they aren't anywhere close to being ready to compete because their offensive line is terrible. They're going to draft Trevor Lawrence number one. I don't think there's any secret whatsoever. But if they put him behind an offensive line that's currently constructed, he's going to get killed very similar to the way that Joe Burrow got killed in Cincinnati. So the first thing, I hear you with Kadarius Toney, you can give him Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, and Devonta Smith. It doesn't matter if the offensive line doesn't get better because it's terrible. So much in the fact that they put a franchise tag on Cam Robinson, who in my opinion shouldn't have been franchised, but that just shows you how desperate Jacksonville is to keep some offensive line talent. They got to go out and build this offensive line in the draft. And then maybe, just maybe, Maddie, I can be talked into drafting a receiver later on. But early on, we got to get offensive and defensive line help.
Now I'm back. Not, that's the booger I know. The line of scrimmage got to get fixed in order for you to be trending in the right direction. But I will say this. This quarterback spot for Jacksonville has been a conundrum for a long time, and they get that fixed. We all agree with Trevor Lawrence. As far as now we build for a guy that we believe will be a franchise guy. Even when they went to the conference championship, nobody in hell thought Blake Bortles was good. Nobody. we celebrated. We love Gardner Minshew and the things that he did, and actually performed at a high level in this league for a while, even in talks about Gardner Minshew potentially being a starter, but he ain't. Trevor Lawrence is gonna fix a lot of stuff that they need fixed in Jacksonville. So to your point, Matt, I understand the concept of what you're talking about. I understand why you would say that, but I'm with Boog as well. If you don't fix or have a line of scrimmage in the NFL, you ain't close to nothing. So depending on what they do in that level in the trenches is when I can determine how close Jacksonville is. They ain't close right now.
You know, Matt.
Hey, 11 picks in this draft, though. 11 picks and $74 million. They have the picks to fix this.
Yes, and the money in free agency.
No
Let's
doubt.
Watch them next week for sure. At one thing, too, I mean, I'm going to write it down. On this day, March 10th, 2021, that Matt Miller said that the Jacksonville Jaguars might be contenders in their division in a couple of years. So if you're right, Matt, we'll go back to it. If you're wrong, we'll just forget about it. It's fine.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're just 50 days away from the NFL draft. There's so many fascinating prospects, but especially the quarterbacks. And one of those QBs, Trey Lance of North Dakota State, is a bit of a mystery because of limited play time. More on that in a moment. But an incredibly special skill set, a cannon arm you see right there. It just jumps off the tape. So much more. But I mentioned the amount of playing time. Certainly FCS competition factors in, too, with some of the question marks. Trey Lance, though, definition of a winner at North Dakota State, going 17-0 in his career and throwing 30 touchdowns, just one interception against those 30 touchdowns. If there is a cause for concern, though, it may be lack of experience. Only four quarterbacks have been selected in the first round with 17 or fewer college starts since the NFL went to 32 teams in 2002. Those guys, you see him there, Mitchell Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins, Mark Sanchez, and Kyler Murray. So, Matt, how important is Trey Lance's upcoming pro day to show people what he's made of, especially considering didn't get to play a full season last year?
Yeah, guys, I think it is incredibly important. And one of the keys to evaluating a quarterback is being able to see them in person. I'll never forget being at the Senior Bowl in 2018, watching Baker Mayfield throw in person for the first time, being 12 yards away watching him throw and was blown away by his arm strength, the way he carried himself. That is important for these NFL scouts, general managers, and head coaches who have not seen Trey Lance. Let's remember, he is an early entry to the draft. He was not at the Senior Bowl. Excuse me. There is no combine. A lot of these general managers were not going to North Dakota State in 2019 to watch Trey Lance play. So just getting eyes on him. How does he throw? How does he move? How does he interact with his teammates? How does he interact with his coaches? Those are all very, very important things outside of the things of like, how well does he actually throw the football? How well does he move? You're going to be charting the completions, but mostly, if I were going to be at the pro day, I just want to see this player in person, which is something that I'm guessing a lot of these general managers in the top 10 have not had a chance to do yet.
Yeah, Matt, I wouldn't be surprised if a whole lot of Trey Lance buzz just kind of starts after we see this pro day. You see some of the footage there, the way that he runs, the way that he throws the football, too. Is there a comp for him in your mind?
You know, there is for me, and guys, let me get this one out before you jump on me. He reminds me of Lamar Jackson, and the reason for that is I think year one, Trey Lance can be a starting quarterback in the NFL because of his athleticism. He's just shrugging off tacklers there. He's 225 pounds. He's ready right now as a runner and a thrower. So that's why I compare him to Lamar Jackson. Get him on the field year one. Let him beat teams with his athleticism and his arm strength. And then year two, ramp up. Year two, what did Lamar Jackson do? Won the MVP. If you want to compare to Josh Allen, that's fine. Guess what? Josh Allen, year one, athlete. Year two, ramp up. Year three, playoff quarterback. So that's why I see Trey Lance a lot like Lamar. That's how I would try to. If I'm drafting him, if I'm the Carolina Panthers and I draft him, my blueprint is exactly what we saw happen with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Ooh.
Oh, come on, guys.
I can't.
Marcus.
I don't know what's happening today. Can somebody, like, I need somebody to help me understand. I thought in the 4 to 5 o'clock hour, we were going to be talking about things that I understood. Like, I don't want to be on shows where I don't understand. I had Boog talking about the Washington football team with no quarterback going to win the division. And now Matt come on here and say Trey Lance comp is Lamar Jackson. In what video? I must have been watching a different quarterback. What video have you seen, Matt, that tells you Trey Lance is similar to Lamar Jackson, Matt? That's what you just said. Yeah. Where?
I did.
How? What video? Did you grow up with him? Did y'all play together in the backyard? How did you get to this conclusion?
I'm telling you, I know it's against players like James Madison. It's not against, you know, LSU. Not everybody gets to run in the SEC. But there are tape. Watch James Madison. Watch the 2019 tape. 42 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was the best player as a redshirt freshman, best player at that level as a redshirt freshman. And if he had gone back to school, guys, and I understand the decision, if he had gone back to school, he would be the surefire number one pick in the 2022 Ooh. Draft. Guaranteed, surefire.
Boog, you watched some of that video that we even just showed, the way he runs. What do you think about this comp?
Well, I love Matty, but I disagree with the comp. I think a more favorable comp would be Dak Prescott. To me, when you see, and maybe it's just the high white socks, how he's running, he's bigger. I think he's somewhere around, 6'2", 6'3", about 220 pounds, very similar build to what Dak Prescott is. I think the biggest issue with Trey Lance is no one is going to know really what you're getting. I think if you look at all the other quarterbacks, you pretty much know what you're getting in Trevor. Justin Fields, the body of work is there. You can kind of understand some of the positives and also some of the negatives. Same thing with Mac Jones, same thing with the other guys. But Trey Lance, you're really not going to know, Spears. I think that's the biggest issue. I would go Dak Prescott more than I would go Lamar Jackson. He doesn't have the twitchiness or the explosiveness that Lamar Jackson has.
Hey, Marcus, let me just throw this out. As I'm thinking about this, I mean, I would be shocked if Trey Lance doesn't end up going at least in the top 10 probably, which means he's going to be a way higher draft pick than Lamar Jackson was.
Yeah, Laura, listen, this is no shade to Trey Lance, but Matt just said Lamar Jackson. We just had a conversation a couple months ago about Lamar Jackson potentially being the best athlete we've ever seen. in the NFL. And now we already got another one. Matt, y'all better stop doing this to this young quarterbacks, man. Y'all better stop floating these names out here, and then people get to run away. Zach Wilson, hey. Mahomes traits, Trey yeah, Lance, athletic. He look, don't do that
listen,
to him.
Listen,
stop
we
doing
got,
it to
hey,
him.
We got
it's draft
50
time,
days.
Spears. You know how they do around draft time, man.
Yeah, we got 50 days until the draft. Bro. We're going to keep floating all these names out there. Thanks so much, Matt, for floating whatever you want to float.